கோவிக்குள் பொன்னிடம் கோவிக்கற் சுந்தரம் தோழிக்குட் புண்ணியம் தோழிக்குள் சுந்தரம் தவக்கு சுந்தரம் சதிக்குட் பந்தம் தளத்தி துன்புலம் தழக்கில் துன்புறும் சதிக்கு சொல்லிடம் படிக்கு தன்னுளம் தழைக்க தன்பகம் எனக்கு தந்தனம் சீவக்கத்தின் மையம் செழிக்க தன்மயம் ஜகத்தில் துன்னூசம் பொறு சுச்சமலே.
ஓம் நமோ பகவதே ஸ்ரீ அருணாச்சல ரமணாய. Today I'm in this video I'm going to be talking about the verse 8 of Arunachala Navamanimalai. As I explained in the earlier verses in this series, the first three verses are verses about the greatness of Arunachala and assurances about Arunachala's grace. The next four verses, verses 4 to 7, are all prayers. And the final two verses are praise of Arunachala, but expressed in an autobiographical way. Most of the verses, we don't know the exact circumstances under which Bhagavan composed them. We know the circumstances under which he composed verse 1, and I told that at the, in the first in this series, the first video in this series, and this eighth verse, we know the circumstances in which Bhagavan composed this. That is, Bhagavan had a devotee in the early days, Ishwara Swami, who was also a good Tamil poet. He once was talking with Bhagavan about a particular verse composed by a poet, an ancient poet called, I think his name was, if I remember, Ottakuta, if I remember correctly. He had composed a verse, in a very beautiful verse, with a lot of alliteration. In which he, a king, I think it was the king of Lanka, had given him some gifts. Because in those days, the kings and the rich people, they were the patrons of the poets. So the king had given him some gift. So he sang a verse in which he praised the king for having given him such and such a gift. And when praising the king, he first introduces himself, who he is, and who is the giver, that is, who is the one to whom it's given, who is the giver, and what is the gift given. That is the basic idea of the verse. So it's meant to be a praise of the giver of the gift. So Ottakuta was discussing this verse with Bhagavan, and he said, see this Ottakuta, he sang such a beautiful verse, but it was just in praise of a worldly king, for some worldly gift, some material gift that he had given, some money or some whatever it was. Would it be not more appropriate to write a verse on Arunachala, the great giver? So I think Ishwara Swami composed a verse and asked Bhagavan also to compose a verse. So this is the verse that Bhagavan composed. So he followed the same theme that Ottakuta had followed. First he introduced himself, and then he talked about in the first sentence he talks about himself, introduces himself. Then in the second sentence he talks about the gift and the giver. So it's all meant as a praise of the giver. The giver is Arunachala. So what Bhagavan says in the first sentence of this verse is, this is, as I say, there's a lot of, it's a very, very beautiful verse with a lot of alliteration. The first sentence is, Bhuvi kuppongidam bhuvi cholpongavan puri kuppuniyan churi kutsundarun Tava kutchundarum sati kupan upananan. That's the first sentence. That's the first 1.5 lines forms one sentence. What this means is, Buvi kul pongidon, Buvi chol pungavon, Puri kul punian, Churi kul, Churi ku ul. So what that means is, Churi means Tiruchuri, the town where Bhagavan was born. What that means is, in Churi, which among the towns of God, Pungavan Purikul, among the towns of God, in other words, among the Shiva Kshetras, it is what it implies, among the holy places, Bhuvikul, in the world, and among those holy places in the world, Tiruchuri is called the surging place. Pungidum Buvi Chol. It is said to be the surging place. This is because in Tiruchuri, there is a Puranic story about it, about a flood, and Lord Shiva puts his trident into the ground and creates a Suri. Suri means a whirlpool, water going round and round, and all the water was drained away, and so the world was saved from the flood. So in the big temple in Tiruchuri, Bhagavan was born just in front of that, or just in a house which was just facing one of the outer walls of the temple, just to the side of the temple. Bhagavan's house was directly facing that. In that temple, there is a tank. A tank means a tirtham, a pond of water, where every year, at a certain time in the year, the water surges up, at a particular full moon or something, I can't remember the exact details, because the water surges up, this is supposed to be a reminder of the flood and how Lord Shiva put his trident in the ground at that particular point, where that tank is, that is the point where the trident pierced the ground and where the water drained out. So every year the water surges there and then subsides. So that is why it's called among all the holy the towns of God in the world, it's called the surging place, the place where the water surges, where it rises up. So in Churi, which among the towns of God in the world is called the surging place, that there he's giving the location where he was born. The final word is utpannanam. Sorry, utpannanam. That means I arose. I arose. That means implies I was born. I was born in that town. To whom was he born? Sundaran Tavaku, Sundaram Satiku. Sundaran means, he's referring to his father, Sundaramaya. Tavaku means the one who is a tapasvi, who does tapas. In other words, it means he's an ascetic. It implies he's a very virtuous person, a virtuous ascetic. I was born to the virtuous ascetic Sundaran and to the faithful wife, Sati, Sundaram. Sundaram, he's referring to his mother here as Sundaram, because Sundaram, Bhagavan's father's name was Sundaram, but in Tamil you can also, the male form of Sundaram, that is, Sundaram is a neuter noun, Sundaran is the male form, so he refers to his father as Sundaran, he refers to his mother as Sundaram. Sundaram means beauty. So Bhagavan's mother, her name in Tamil was Arahu. Arahu means beauty. So her father and her mother, both, her father had a, her father's, his father's name was a Sanskrit word which means beauty, and his mother's name was a Tamil word which means beauty, which is why in the in the second verse of Arunachala Akshramalai, Bhagavan sings, Arahu Sundaram Pol, like Arahu and Sundaram. Ahamum, you and I, Utru Abhiman, Abhinamai Irupom Arunachala. May you and I be non-different, unseparated, like Arahu and Sundaram. That can mean either like his father and mother were one, or like the Tamil word Arahu and the Sanskrit word Sundaram, they both mean beauty, so they are one. Like that, may you and I be one and inseparable, is what he implies there. So in this verse 8 of Arunachala Navamanamalai, he refers to his mother as Sundaram, which is the Sanskrit form of her Tamil name, Arahu. So he was born, so the whole meaning of this sentence, in Churi, which among the towns of God in the world is called the surging place, I was born to the virtuous ascetic Sundaran and to the faithful wife Sundaram. I said at a certain time of year that water surges up. I made a note of it here, because every year in the month of Masi is is the month in which Mahashivaratri occurs. That's from mid-February to mid-March. At a particular time, I don't know whether it's the time of Shivaratri, or it's that's of the close to the new moon. So it's more likely at the time of a full moon in the month of Masi, that water rises up. And Bhagavan said, as a child, he remembers seeing that water. Every year they used to wait for that particular day when they would see the water rising up. And I think some years it rose more than other years. But anyway, every year the water rises up at that particular time. So here in this first sentence, Bhagavan has introduced himself. Who is he? He is one who was born to the virtuous Tapasvi Sundaran and to his faithful wife Sundaram, Arahu. Where was he born? In Tiruchuri, which among all the holy places, or among all the Shiva Kshetras, is renowned the place of the surging water. So that's the first sentence. Then the second sentence, he talks about the really important thing, what is the gift and who is the giver? So he first says what is the gift. But obviously, that is, in poetry, you don't have to strictly follow the normal prose order. So in a normal prose sentence in Tamil, the verb comes at the end. You start with the subject, then you've got the object, and then you get the verb at the end. That is the normal form. So when interpreting this second sentence, the subject comes, the giver comes at the end. So we have to take that at the beginning. So we'll first start with the giver. Though in reverse, it comes at the end. So who is the giver? The giver is Sem Porupu Semmale. Sem Porupu means the red hill. Semmale means the Lord or God. So the red hill God. So that is the main subject. That's the final three words of the verse. Oh, I'll read the whole sentence first. The main clause is the part that describes the gift is Talatil Punbulan Charakil Tumburum Taviku Tunjidum Padiku Tun Tanulum Tareka Tanpadam, Enaku Tandanan. This is what he gave to me. Tandanan means he gave. And who is it who gave? That is described in the final line. Shivakat Chinmayam Serikut Tanmayam Jagatil Tunusam Porupu Samalay. So you can see the alliteration in all these lines. There's so much alliteration. So anyway, we're dealing now with the last line in which he's describing who is the giver, because that is the subject of this sentence. So the giver is the Semporupu Semale, the red hill god. So, and the rest of this first line is describing the greatness of this red god. So this red god is, this red hill god, Jagatil Tunnum, Tunnu, who appears in the world. That is, Arunacha appeared in this world in physical form. Why did he appear in the physical form of this hill in this world? That's what Bhagavan explains here. Shivaka Chinmayam. That means the Chinmaya. Chinmaya means Chinmaya means Maya means that is the suffix Maya means what is composed of. So Chinmaya means what is composed of consciousness. So he that which is composed of consciousness, pure awareness. So that pure awareness, Shivaka means to flow, so that to glow, to shine brightly. So that that Chinmaya may shine brightly, who appears in the world, so that that which is composed of pure awareness, the Chinmaya, glows, and then Serika Tanmayam. Tanmayam, like Chinmaya, means that which is composed of chit, of awareness, of consciousness. Tanmayam means that which is composed of tat. Tat means refers to Brahman. So Tanmayam is here referring to Brahman. And so Tanmayam flourishes. So the Bhagavan is giving here, but what is the purpose of Arunachala appearing in physical form? Of course, Arunachala is our own real nature. Arunachala is that which is always shining in our heart as I, as Bhagavan often pointed out. But Arunachala has appeared outwardly in the form of the hill. Why did he appear in the form of the hill? It is so that Chinmaya may glow. What that implies is so that Chinmaya may glow so brightly that it swallows everything. In two places, in the first verse of Arunachala Pancharatnam and in verse 27 of Akshramulai, Bhagavan refers to Arunachala as the sun of bright rays that swallows everything in the spreading rays of its grace. That is, when we turn within and ego merges back into its source, that Arunachala is that sun of pure awareness but shines forth swallowing everything. That is, when ego is swallowed, everything else is swallowed along with it, because all other things exist only in the view of ego. So when he says so that Chinmaya may glow, what he implies is so that the purpose of the appearance of Arunachala is so that that pure awareness may shine forth in such a way that it swallows everything. That is, it's not what is said here, but it's what is implied. And pure awareness shine forth? That pure awareness is our own real nature. It is seemingly obscured because of our rising as ego. As ego, we are always aware of ourself as I am. That fundamental awareness of our own existence, that is Chinmaya, that is what is always shining in our heart as I. So we are always clearly aware of ourselves as I am. But as ego, we are not aware of ourselves as just I am. We're aware of ourselves as I am such and such a person. I am this body. I am Michael or whoever. We identify ourselves with the name and form of a body. By limiting ourselves with this name and form of a body, we are thereby obscuring the true nature of I am, which is the infinite awareness. So that awareness may shine forth, in order for it to shine forth, this ego must be destroyed. So the implication here is, but what is the, why does Arunachala appear on this earth in the form of a hill? Only for destruction of ego, because only when ego is destroyed can that will that pure awareness shine forth. So though Bhagavan says very little words, if we think deeply about these words, there's actually so much deep implication. And the shining forth of that Chinmaya is also what he describes in other words as Tanmayam Sarika, the flourishing of Tanmaya. In what sense does Tanmaya flourish? When Chinmaya shines forth, swallowing everything, Tanmaya flourishes as the one and only, as one without a second. Ekameva Dvaitiyam. Brahman is one only without a second. All this multiplicity appears only in the view of ego. So in order for Brahman to flourish as it is, of course, Brahman is always remains as it is. It never undergoes any change. But in our view, Brahman seems to be, Tanmayam seems to be obscured because we've limited ourselves. Instead of being aware of ourselves as just I am, which is Brahman, we are aware of ourselves as I am this or I am that. So, for the Chinmaya to shine forth and for the Tanmaya to flourish, the Tanmaya flourishing means Tanmaya shining as the only, as the one and only reality. Arunachala appeared on earth as a hill on earth for this purpose. So Bhagavan is here indicating what is the purpose of the divine name and form of Arunachala. Why did Arunachala appear as a hill on earth? It is only in order, by implication, he doesn't specify it here, but I mean, for example, in the first verse of Arunachakshramai, right, he says, Arunachala mena ahamenine pava ahateve rarupai Arunachala. So in that very first verse, he's indicating what is the purpose of Arunachala? Eradicating ego. So when ego is eradicated, only when ego is eradicated will the Chinmaya shine forth and will the Tanmaya flourish as the one and only reality. So this is the implication here. So that is his, as I say, this is the last line, he's describing the giver. So the whole sentence, the whole of this last line means the red hill god who appears in the world so that Chinmaya, what is composed of pure awareness, glows, and so that Tanmaya, what is composed of that, namely Brahman, flourishes. So that is he's described the giver. So what did this giver give him? That is what is said in the second half of the second line and the whole of the third line. What he says there is, talatil pun bulan, serikil tumburum, taviku tunjidum padiku, tan ulum tareka, tan padum enaku tandanan, tan padum enaku tandanan. He, that great giver, Arunachala, what did he give me? He gave to me Tanpadam, his own state. Tanpadam has a double meaning. Padam can mean both his feet. So when his feet are placed on our head, ego is crushed. And by crushing ego, he bestows his own state upon us. Padam also means state. So the supreme state of pure awareness, of just being that, of being that pure awareness, he bestowed that state, his own state, upon me. And why did he bestow that state upon me? That is the rest of it. That is, gave me his gave to me his state. And then he describes it what was the manner of Arunachala's giving? He describes it. Tan ulum tareka. That means his heart overflowing with joy. He gave me his own state. With great joy, with his whole heart overflowing with joy, he gave me his own state. That is, Arunachala wants nothing else, nothing other than to give us his own state. But in order for him to give us his own state, we must be willing to surrender to him. So when we finally surrender to him and he gives us his own state, it is with great joy in his heart that he does so. So it's so beautifully described here by Bhagavan. So with great joy in his heart, his heart overflowing with joy. Why did he give his own state, and why was he so overjoyed? Why was his heart overflowing with joy to give that state? So that the miserable distress in the wickedness of the vile senses in the world perishes. That is, he's here describing the state of ego. In the state of ego, we are in a miserable state in which we are caught up in the wicked snare of these five senses. All these sights, sounds, tactile sensations, tastes, smells. These seem to us to be so attractive, and we are thereby caught up in these things. So that the miserable distress I'll try and explain it word by word. Talatil means in this world. Punbulan means the vile or the very base, the very crude senses, the despicable senses. Charakil, in the wickedness of the senses. Tumbu, the distress, the miserable distress. Miserable distress and tunjidum padiku, so that it perishes. The whole sentence means the red hill god who appears in the world so that Chinmaya glows and so that Tanmaya flourishes, gave me his state, his heart overflowing with joy, so that the miserable distress in the wickedness of the vile senses in the world perishes. So we can slightly expand that. God in the form of what this implies is, God in the form of the red hill Arunachala, who appears in the world so that Chinmaya, that which is composed of pure awareness, glows, how did it glow? The implication is glows so brightly that it swallows everything else in its infinitely clear light. And so that Tanmayam, that which is composed of Tat, namely Brahman, flourishes by shining as one without a second. He gave me his state, his heart overflowing with joy, so that the miserable distress of, by implication, of my life lived in the wickedness of the vile senses in the world perishes. So to bring an end to this ego state in which we live ensnared in these five senses, so that perishes, he, with great joy in his heart, he gives us his own state. But Bhagavan is saying he gave him his own state. The same Arunachala who gave to Bhagavan his own state, and that Arunachala is Bhagavan himself, of course, because Bhagavan and Arunachala are one and the same. He is, why did he appear on earth in the form of a hill? And why did he appear on earth in human form as Bhagavan? It is only to give us his own state. And why does he want to give us his own state? Only to bring an end to the miserable condition of ego, where we are caught up in the wickedness of these vile senses. Why are these senses so vile? Because when we rise as ego, take this body to the eye, and we enjoy and we see all these things through the five senses. We see so many sights and sounds and all these things. All these, what is it that we are actually seeing? All this is nothing but ourself. But instead of seeing ourself as the one infinite ocean of pure happiness, pure love, pure being, pure awareness, we see ourselves as all this multiplicity. And some things we like, some things we dislike. And we get caught up in all the likes and dislikes and so on. And this is a miserable condition we are in. We, the one infinite happiness, now seem to be this finite ego who is constantly begging for happiness, trying to seek happiness in this little pleasure or that little pleasure. We have debased ourselves, seeking happiness in the trivial things of this world, when what are all these things? They are nothing but ourselves, but we are seeing as all these things. And why do we see ourselves as all these things? Because we have limited ourselves as the form of this body. So this is a vile, evil, wicked, despicable state. So Arunachala appeared in the form of a hill and in the human form of Bhagavan only to put an end to this, to give us his own state so that Chinmaya may shine forth, swallowing everything else, and so that Tanmaya may flourish. Of course, Chinmaya and Tanmaya are one and the same thing. This is all in poetry. He's describing the same thing in so many different ways. So the flourishing of Tanmaya and the shining of Chinmaya is a description of the state that will remain, of Tanpadam, of his state. That is the state in which an end is put to the ego, which is what is it? Is caught up in the wickedness of these five senses. When this ego is destroyed and we are established in his state, that is the state Chinmaya glows and Tanmaya flourishes. In other words, the state in which our real nature shines forth, swallowing everything else. So Bhagavan indirectly, he's praising Arunachala, pointing out what is the purpose of Arunachala's appearance as a hill on earth. We can infer from this, since Bhagavan is none other than Arunachala, Arunachala himself is a... Because Arunachala has always been teaching this in silence. Bhagavan was able to understand the silent teaching of Arunachala, so he turned within and he merged back within. That is, when I say Bhagavan here, I mean Venkatraman. That jiva that took itself as I am Venkatraman was such a mature jiva that it was able to understand the silent teachings of Arunachala. The mere thought of Arunachala turned his mind within, and with the aid of that intense fear of death bestowed upon him by Arunachala, he turned his mind within and surrendered completely to Arunachala. So Arunachala then took possession of that, as Bhagavan said in the previous verse, Anamalayai Adiyene Andavandre Avyudav. The very day you took charge of me, that is that day that fear, intense fear of death came to that jiva that took itself as I am Venkatraman. When that fear of death came, that jiva, that ego turned within and merged forever back into its source. That is the very day that Arunachala took charge of him, and he took his body and his soul. So afterwards, what we see as Bhagavan Ramana, that is nothing but Arunachala in human form. So why did Arunachala assume this human form? Shivaka Chinmayam, so but Chinmaya may glow, Cherika Tanmayam, so the Tanmaya may flourish. By putting an end, by bestowing on us his own state, thereby putting an end to all this misery. and he bestows upon us as his own state only by annihilating ego. So Bhagavan, in this verse, he reveals what is the purpose of Arunachala, and indirectly why Arunachala has appeared in the form of Bhagavan. That is, it is the same Arunachala who bestowed his state upon Bhagavan, who then took possession of that, of the body and soul that was Venkatraman, and transformed it into Bhagavan. And as Bhagavan Ramana, he gave us these beautiful teachings so that this Chinmaya may glow and Tanmaya may flourish by his bestowing upon us his own state. So though Bhagavan here, though this is autobiographical, because Bhagavan is the self of each and every one of us. He's not talking about his own biography, he's talking about our biography. What is the purpose? Why has Bhagavan appeared in our life? It is only to bestow upon us his own state by annihilating ego, who's caught up in this vile state of the five senses, the vile and wicked state of the five senses, so that that may all be put an end to. He will give us his own state, and then Chinmaya will shine forth, swallowing everything, and Tanmaya will thereby flourish. Tanmaya and Chinmaya, as I say, they are one and the same thing. So Bhagavan is not only writing his own biography, he's writing our biography. But in order for our biography, he's writing our future biography, we can say. But in order for our future biography to unfold, we need to surrender ourselves completely to him. Only when we surrender ourselves completely to him will he take complete charge of us, as he implied in the previous verse. So what is required on our part is complete surrender. How do we surrender ourselves completely? We follow the path that Bhagavan has shown us by. That is, as Arunachala taught Bhagavan in silence and Bhagavan taught us in words, tirambiyaham, turning within, tane dinamahakankan, daily means constantly, ahakan, with the inner eye, see yourself with the inner eye. So it's only by turning within and constantly holding on to self-attentiveness that we can give ourselves entirely to him. And when we give ourselves entirely to him, he will then bestow upon us his own state, so that the misery, or in such a way that the misery of this miserable state of being bound within the snare of these five senses should end, and thereby Chinmaya will glow and Tanmaya will flourish. Om Namo Bhagavate Sri Arunachala Ramanaya.